Hello and welcome to the S&P Global Platts Commodities Focus podcast. I'm Gareth Carpenter, Associate Director for EMEA Power and Gas. With me is Amy Gasker, Managing Editor, Americas Power, and Jamila Al-Ibrahim, Managing Editor for EMEA Power. Welcome, both of you. Today marks the first in a series of podcasts exploring the energy transition that is needed to address the many challenges facing the global power sector. Now, the word transition, it implies that there is a journey underway with a set destination. And in this case, that destination, it's actually a global decarbonized economy. So, Jamila, if I can first turn to you, it's a very much on-trend description for what is effectively a huge structural change with many different channels. What do we really mean when we talk about an energy transition?
Well, Gareth, thank you for the question. As you mentioned, energy transition is a structural change in the way in which we produce, sell, and ultimately use energy. And, you know, as you might imagine, that needs a series of changes around us. So policy level, structural level, and how we perceive energy, how we're going to use it. So we think this is a new thing, but actually, historically, we have been through different energy transitions in the past. To mention the big two ones, I would say, let's go back to the 19th century. When we moved from burning wood, you know, into coal, and then later on when we stopped using coal as much in favor of oil and gas by mid-20th century. So what we try now to do is to shift away from the sources that we've been using so far and to go more towards renewables and offset the CO2 emissions. And, you know, just to give you a fun fact, why it's becoming so pressing and something that the UK has seen this year, earlier in May in 2019, the UK has gone a week without using coal for its energy supplies, and that was since 1882. So just to give you a frame of reference of, you know, how long we've been relying on these sources.
I mean, clearly the energy sector, it does need to adapt in the face of, as you say, mounting climate pressures, moving towards a decarbonized world. What is the power sector or the industry doing to achieve this shift towards decarbonisation?
Of course. So as I mentioned renewables. So this is something that has been seen more and more in Europe and is a kind of a bottom-up approach. So that means the clients, the public, has demanded for cleaner way of getting energy from their daily usage. So, you know, we're not going to get rid of oil, coal and gas overnight. But the bottom line is we need to kind of act right now and increase the share of renewable energy into the global mix. So, you know, in the last year, 2018, energy demand has risen by 2.3% globally, and that was the fastest increment in 10 years. And as a consequence, CO2 emissions ramped up by 1.7%. We have to also think that, you know, as more people gain access to energy in developing countries, we really need to start thinking a bit in a cleaner way in Europe when we can afford this transition, because we have the technology and we have the will to do so. But at the same time, you know, I know that, for example, I'm talking a lot about Europe, but it's not globally true. So the US, I believe, has got another approach.
We're going to learn about that right now. Over to you, Amy, for that transatlantic perspective. From your side, what's happening in the US with regards to the energy transition? What are the considerations driving it over there?
Thank you, Gare. And it is quite interesting to hear Jamila talk about the solutions that are coming up from the bottom up. You know, in the United States, the transformation is definitely bringing a lot of different opportunities, but obviously the challenge of how to increase the fuel diversity to reduce fossil fuel dependency. But, you know, it has to be with a holistic solution and a balance to ultimately reduce CO2. You know, we have definitely witnessed, you know, number of announcements where utilities are taking steps to actually increase the power supply diversity. But, you know, in the U.S., it's a bit different from the U.K. You know, I will define this transition that it has been driven by not necessarily from the consumer side as the U.K. perspective, but it really has been led by economics. But, you know, I have defined five different key elements that is driving the transition in the United States. One is definitely demand. And, you know, if demand is increasing in few areas, but it's also not, you know, increasing substantially in many other areas. So many of these utilities are waiting for the demand to increase in order to replace it with renewable sources or they're waiting for these coal aging plants to be able to retire so that they can actually be replaced by renewables. The second point that is driving in the United States is price divergence. We definitely have seen natural gas coming down historically their prices, but we are also seeing prices from the wind and the solar cost. That is a key point, economics in the United States, because it's now waking up a lot of the utilities and all the market participants to start looking at, you know, how do we bring that diversity. But it's also being led by the technology and the innovation. Renewable sources are growing at a scale levels, but not everywhere in the country, which limits the expansion of this renewable transformation as well. But we also have seen significant interest in alternatives such as batteries, hydrogen, and of course, energy efficiency technology. But everything has to be led in the United States by policy. We have seen local and state policies that are driving change, but it's not quite quick enough. So a lot of times, you know, the utilities are waiting for the public utility commissions to engage them and to make changes. So it's kind of like what comes first. You know, is it the policy or is it the utilities that are taking the steps to actually make change? And the last one, but it's a bit different from the UK, is the corporate or the consumer's drivers. We are not necessarily driving it, but it's just starting a little bit. People are actually being more vocal about wanting to reduce the CO2, and corporations and investors are watching. And hopefully those are doing the right thing.
And you mentioned, you know, you've been speaking to market participants, Amy. For people working in the power sector, this massive structural change, it's going to come with a certain amount of pain, I guess. What are market participants saying about the energy transition, how it's affecting them?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. In fact, I was just at a conference in Arizona, and many of the market participants that came to that conference were from regions where it's not even deregulated markets. And those folks, they normally are very passive on making changes, but now it looks like they are actually stepping up and coming up with innovations to start diversifying their fuel. But they definitely said that it's very challenging for the fact that, obviously, they have to await for that need, and demand is not growing, so therefore they have to wait for coal plants to be aging or getting them out of the system in order for them to take steps into bringing that new renewables meet. So it is very challenging. Another thing is obviously the cost. You know, because of the price divergence that I spoke to, they're saying, oh, well, it is the right time, but is it the right time for a long period of time? So, you know, short term, they definitely are seeing the prices to start doing something, but in the long term, they are a bit skeptical. Will we see the continued prices for natural gas coming down, or do we see that renewable pricing continue coming down? So, you know, some of these utilities definitely are very conservative when they make decisions. So it's kind of like watch and see.
Yeah, obviously these firms are facing many challenges. There's going to be threats to existing business models, etc. And I think it's going to be, you know, a really, really big change, but nevertheless a very interesting one. Well, that's all we've got time for today. Thank you very much, Jamila and Amy. For more news, insights and analysis, visit spglobal.com/Platts. And please do look out for our next edition of the Energy Transition Series in November, where we're going to be focusing on different scenarios for global energy demand.